Hey there, welcome to the Just Shayin' podcast. I'm Shay. The heart of this podcast is to simply rediscover and remain in the ways of Jesus within the 21st century. So pull up a chair or put in a headphone and let's chat about what a life looks like as we follow this man named Jesus. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Just Shayin'. And it's been a minute, you know, I'm sorry, but here we are. But I have a special guest on here today that needs no introduction to me, but to you all, probably deserves an introduction. I'm here with Anastasia Fominko, and I don't even know where to start to introduce her, but she's been a lifelong bestie, has seen me at my worst, probably in my best, but we all know that the best is really not the best. But, thicker than thieves. I don't know if I should have said that, but we're not going to edit it anymore because I don't think either one of us has stolen anything, at least not together, but that's another podcast. But anyways.
What an introduction.
And probably one of the best ones you'll ever get on this side of heaven. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, I wanted to have her on and just talk about something that's really, a profound thing, and she has finished her first book called No Longer Afraid, and it's more than just like, hey, bestie, let's talk about this. It's like, hey, everybody needs to know about this, and I wanted to share a space to just have that conversation. But yeah, this book, I don't know when I'm going to have this edited, but eventually, I'm just kidding, it'll be ready. Her book comes out May 7th. Oh my gosh, that got real when we said it out loud.
Yeah.
I would love to just, set the table for some conversation. So, Stasia wrote a song. I want to talk about that first because you wrote a song how many years ago?
2017.
So you do the math because I don't know the math. I'm Texas Public Education.
About 7 years ago.
I'm just kidding. I'm being so dumb right now. But about 7 years ago, she wrote a song. And there's a story behind that. But it's called No Longer Afraid. Little did she know that it wasn't just going to be a song.
Right.
But rather, it was going to be a seed planted into the ground that would turn into what is becoming an orchard to me. It's not just a flower, but it is becoming an orchard. It's becoming so many ways that it's starting to manifest fruit. And so last year at some point, maybe the end of the year before that, she started burning with, oh my gosh, there's a book inside of me. And God started speaking to that. And instead of just pretending, you know, I have this word from the Lord. She actually put practicals to that, and she started writing out a memoir type book. Mm-hmm. I have just moments that she overcame fear, saw fear. And I think fear is such an awesome topic because it literally, no one's immune to fear.
Yeah.
You know, there's some parts of our stories that like you don't, you know, we don't, there's parts of both of our stories I don't have and you do have, or vice versa, but fear manifests literally in every person's story.
It's a universal thing.
Yeah. And there's no vitamins for that. Like it is real and it is in your face usually. And so I wanted to have you on because I want to talk about fear and no longer afraid.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So could you share just a smidge about just the premise of the book, maybe, and just kind of like what kind of kicked it off. Like,
So good, Shay.
That was the longest introduction. You guys are awesome.
I mean, how do you measure just a smidge in Texas measurements?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I'm kidding. Okay, so yeah, I guess I could say 2017, when I wrote the song, I think it was beyond the song for me. I think it was ultimately a beginning of a story line that I didn't necessarily recognize in my life. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I was in the process of untangling so much and going on this healing journey. And oftentimes we don't even know what our story is unless we go on that healing journey.
You better. We could just park there for 3 hours. Put it in park. So, just kidding.
Yeah, I think it began there. I think a lot of what God was doing before 2017 was just picking off, undoing layers really of just finding my worth in Him, and a lot of dealing with a lot of excuses for fears and insecurities that I thought I could protect myself with, not realizing the person underneath all of that wanted to break free and live a true version of who she was. And looking back now, I realized that the song was like this invitation into kind of the new life. And the only way I was able to sing No Longer Afraid was because I'd gone through a journey of dealing with the fear.
Right.
It wasn't just a great song that led to this book.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, really, it encompasses the book itself, is basically encompassing this idea of how do you learn to live without fear? Because I think fear could be a really good coping mechanism. We choose different coping mechanisms to slap on to the fear.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to admit that it's a fear. And so the book is very simple. It's very practical. I think it's just really my story. And my goal was for anybody to sit down that's not a reader. Because you and I are readers. But there's a lot of people out there that are not readers.
No, some people don't even listen to it on Audible.
It's true. And
what's a book?
I love me a good story.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, how could I write this book in a way where someone could just pick it up and get captivated by a story? Not so much maybe even, you know, information or sometimes, you know, truth is profound when it's put in the story.
And yes. So it hits different.
Yeah,
it hits
different. Like Jesus, he loves them parables.
Okay.
And so every chapter is really a story from my life based on a fear and security, layers of shame that covered up just the true version of who I was. And so I think my goal in my heart, first off, when I started writing the book, I think I was essentially writing it for an audience that knew the Lord. You know, in my mind, it was, you know, for a person maybe in the church.
Most of your life has been to an audience of people that come into a building.
Yes.
And people on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, small group, it's been very much in front of the flock.
For sure. And I remember I wrote it, and then I felt like the Lord was like asking me to go through the book and actually begin to read the book like as someone who doesn't know the Lord and doesn't have these experiences and encounters with Jesus. How would I talk about fear to those people? And so it's funny, my editor actually took the book and she in a few weeks kind of responds to me and says, listen, girl, I think you have two books here, one on worship and one on fear. So which way do you want to go? Because if you're going to talk about fear, why don't we put all this away for another book?
Okay, book number two.
But, you know, I think it helped me. She helped me kind of undo maybe even some of the language.
Yeah.
Because I think language is so important for me. And I've just found myself so intrigued by people that don't have Christian language.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes when I talk to those people, I'm challenged by my own, you know, faith, because I'm like, how do I communicate something that's real to me in a way that is not going to sound like religious? I don't even want to use that word, but like I think a lot of times we can say, you know, we can say certain things without really putting thought into like what those words mean.
Well, yeah, and I think sometimes it's like it's the religion is, it's not horrible, right? It's biblical. There's whatever.
Absolutely.
But there's a jargon in the heart behind it that man has really kind of messed up some words.
Yeah.
that, like, you know, really mess with people. And so it's like taking those filters off of the book.
It's true.
And honestly, it's refreshing.
Yeah. And it was so much easier writing it, you know, to the Christian, to the Christian reader. But I realized that what if someone, you know, could, and that's the goal, even in me promoting the book, I just want people to buy it for that unsaved friend or neighbor or coworker or just a person that has no context for, you know, experiences with God. And there is an activation at the end of every chapter that, my goal with that is, you know, that that person would encounter the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And by just asking the question, sometimes they don't know who they're asking the question to, but ultimately, the goal would be to introduce them to Jesus in a way that is going to cause them to ask questions.
Yeah. Okay. Love this. Want to ask you a question though. Mm-hmm. So, cause I knew you pre going through a lot of healing or like, not that I want to sit here and talk about all that necessarily, but I do want to talk about, like, for the person listening or the person that reads the book that isn't really sure what, I guess two questions maybe. Who, right? Who is somebody in your early years that you looked at their life and said, wait, like, healing's available, freedom's available to me?
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes, like, we're surrounded by people that the, that heaven, like, uses to prick us, if you will. Like, oh, wait, there's more available? Like, you know, we usually see somebody or he uses something to go, wait, like, what's different about that person? Or, like, you know, like who would you say is somebody in that storyline?
Honestly, no, that's such a great question. I think I have always been in this tension of, you know, looking at heroes of the faith that were so deep into the spirit, and people like Catherine Coleman that were like, oh, like my heroes, and still are. But then there would be people like you know, I'm trying to name people that everybody knows, but like someone like a Bob Goff that was just like,
oh my gosh, he I tried to call that number at the end of the book. Bob, I'm still waiting for you to call me back.
and there was just be this simplicity and this freedom about how he would introduce the gospel in his books and just show people, you know, love does. Ugh, like just such a just good book. Stories that would intrigue me.
Yeah.
And I just, I was like in this tension of like, oh, like I love the Holy Spirit and I love these deep encounters with the Lord, and the presence of God has always been the anchor to this entire journey. But at the same time, you know, sitting down with someone or with his book, I'm saying that like I'm sitting down with Bob Goff, but that would be a dream.
Call us, Bob.
But just like, I think he comes to mind quickly because it's I just, what I found so intriguing with his, you know, stories was this childlikeness that he would bring to the table. And I just felt like, okay, honestly, anybody could read this book and relate to,
for real,
you know, to what he's talking about. And so I guess in that tension, when I started discovering my freedom, I realized that, oh my gosh, even seeing people like, you know, there would be these amazing, you know, worship leaders that I would look up to. But I remember when I heard Kim Walker for the first time and I was like, what is it about that girl? Why does she have such a freedom on her lips? Like, what is coming forth? Because it just, it felt like a river. And it was just, there was such a freedom in what she was releasing, and it didn't feel, unattainable, and it felt so, so childlike. And I think there's just always been this like, oh, I'm like this, you know, find myself relating to these deep, you know, old souls, and then to these like people that just make Jesus so, just so fun and easy.
Yeah,
and anyways, I still live in that tension.
You do. No, you do.
That's why we're friends.
Honestly, no way. Not both of us living in the tension out here. But I love it because I think like there was something, and I don't know like the exact moment, but I remember talking to you one time, and I think I was in Texas and you had like barely went to California, maybe like a couple years. And we talked. And it was like, whoa, like Stacia's going after stuff. And I'm like, I'm here for it. And it was daunting to me. I mean, I think I had my own journey, right?
Right.
But like in so many ways, I was like, wait, like, there is more. Like, don't get complacent. Like, don't get satisfied, right? And so, like, you've always been someone that challenges in that way. I use the word challenge loosely. You're a great challenger. It's not, but I think sometimes challenge can be, like, this harsh word.
Yeah.
To me, provoke would be the better word. Like, you're so compelled to share about your freedom that it, like, it makes people go, wait, hold up. Like, I think, like, that's attainable. That's not, because sometimes we look at it and it's like, that's so unattainable. I don't even know how to start. But I feel like your stories in the book and just, like, you in general make it very simple for people to go, oh, I can do that. That's going to hurt. That's going to suck. But I'm going to do it. I can do this. So, anyways.
I just remember, it's so funny that you say that, because in that timeline, I remember it was the really, really insecure season for me because I was trying to find myself in this space. We were planting a church, and I was just so insecure as a leader. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I write about this in the book, and I just go down this path of just getting lost, losing myself in the fear of man. Just wanting so badly to please my pastors and my leaders, and somehow trying to fit in and, you know, try to be made from the same cloth, which, you know, 10 years later on that journey, I realized that that was not even my place, and I was never going to fit in. Hello, misfit. But I just felt like it's crazy how, guys, some of the hardest, some of the most vulnerable seasons of your life can serve as a launching pad into transformation.
Yes, and girl, you better hit that.
Yes, I think it was in that death process of like trying so hard to please and just being crippled by the fear of man, and at the end of it getting called out so hard and getting, it's almost like my pastor called my bluff. And he was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. And I just remember, like, it was like coming to the end of myself in this journey, this version of myself, this narrative of my life that I had that was so, it was like a house of cards. It just went, like, just done. And I didn't know who this person was outside of, you know, building this version of myself up.
I think it's interesting because, like, I kind of can remember conversations we had along the way. And I'm like, I remember, and I'm sure you could say the same thing about me. Like, you start to hear the pressure on your friend's shoulder. Like, oh my gosh, like, you can hear somebody carrying that pressure. Like, oh my gosh, and this and that and da-da-da-da, right? But I don't know, along the way, like, sitting here now, I'm like, when I hear somebody under that pressure, I'm like, man, just on the other side of that is like the freedom that they're longing for. Right. You know, there's this saying, and it's like, at the end of you is the beginning of him. And that's daily, right? Like, that's daily. And I think a lot of times face to face with God looks like I have to come face to face with me and realize I'm not God.
So good.
And so I think, like, I'm just sitting here thinking of people listening to this that are like, you feel all the pressure stacked up on you. You feel like it's unattainable. I'm watching other people get free. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I can't even tell you what fear I have. It's so woven. Right? Like, I just remember just like moments of even in my own life, like, you feel like all of the odds are against you. But if you'll just let go, if you'll just be like, okay, like, if this is what it takes is for me to literally crack, then I welcome it.
Yeah, totally.
To get to that place is so scary.
Yeah.
And so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because you've built on what feels like a good foundation, but it's really just sifting sand.
Yeah. Wow, that's so good. I heard this quote once. I can't remember.
We love our quotes.
How would you? I can't remember who said it, but I try to give credit, but I can't find who said
it. That's okay.
It was basically, the fear of the Lord swallows all lesser fears.
Ooh.
And so, but here's the thing.
Stabby stab.
I think we think that means, oh, I just need to like pursue God and all these things. Yes, 100%. You know, going after the Lord's affirmation, But I think that the fear of God always provokes us to action.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, the fear mm-hmm. of God swallows all lesser fears. Why? Because it's put into action. And all of a sudden, yes. we go after, you know, whether it's timidity and security, like we yeah. go after it with action. And yeah. I love even in Timothy when Paul says to Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, or another translation says timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Yes.
And I think that living in the fear of the Lord will help you make decisions, because the beginning of the fear of the Lord is wisdom. You know? And so mm-hmm. I think in that, I think my life has always, it's almost like I could get so inspired, so surrendered in the presence of the Lord, but it's not really about that moment. It's what I do yes, after that moment.
Absolutely.
And so I think in this journey of coming undone, people are always asking me, well, how did you, mm-hmm. you know, get rid of this, or how did this end? And when we begin to talk, and so oftentimes you'll hear like people just, they don't want to do anything about what they're going through. They just want right. something like, let someone pray for me and I'll just be supernaturally delivered.
Instant deliverance.
You know, I wish, but girl, to me, that's yeah. not the process of growth. And I think
I don't even think it's biblical. I think it yeah. happens more rare than we think it does.
100%. And so I think in that, in the tension of discomfort is where most of life happens.
Yeah.
Like most of like the fruit that then we like enjoy from our life happens in the tension, in the suffering, yes. in the pain, you yes. know, and we don't like it. But I think it's, you know, not just sitting passively during that time, but actually allowing the Lord to form us in that time.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
But I want to talk about this because I know like there was a point last year where we had this conversation, but in my brain still doesn't get the scripture. I don't know if it ever will, but my spirit knows
yeah.
that it's true. But in my weakness, he is made strong.
Yeah.
Keeps coming to my heart. Because I know there was a lot of grieving for you last year. Lots of just unforeseen, not kisses, if you know what song I'm talking about. And you didn't yeah. see that coming.
Yeah.
And you didn't see, like,
yeah.
right? Like, lots of those things. But even in that, I think that, like, this idea that we live in culturally to put our best face forward and to put our strengths, like, here's my resume of strengths. And in the culture of the world, that fits. But in the kingdom, it doesn't really get you far.
Yeah.
Because it's in his weakness. And it's not in my strength. It's in my weakness.
Yeah.
It's his strength. It's his glory.
Yeah.
To come and cover me. But I think we don't talk a lot about it. Whether it's sin, whether it's suffering, like there's just those elements of weakness that as a church, I feel like we don't really talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this quote, another quote, but this one's John Tyson. But he said,
yeah.
just because the church doesn't talk about sin doesn't mean sin isn't happening.
Well.
And it's not that I'm trying to revert this whole conversation to sin,
mm-hmm.
but it's this idea of just because we're not talking about weakness doesn't mean yeah. that everybody listening to this doesn't have it. And what does it look like? Because I think in order to really admit that you have a fear, you kind of have to yeah. get comfortable with admitting that you have a weakness.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to hit.
For sure.
And it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I've come to you at times in our, like, even in the early years of our friendship and confess, like, secret sin. And I remember literally sitting in Starbucks, I'll never forget, my teeth literally chattering, and I was scared to death.
Wow.
I remember just thinking, like, I don't want my friend to think I'm weak. I don't want my friend to think, like, I'm human, basically, or that I've been giving into things I shouldn't, or I wouldn't want her to see me any like different than yeah. she sees me.
Yeah.
But obviously on the other side of that, I was met with love, which thank you for the thousand times. But like, I just like, how do we approach the conversation? Because I think sometimes first you just have to be okay admitting, like, actually, I do have a fear. And some of those fears are irrational. Some of them are actually reality. And like, you, it could happen.
Yeah.
So like, I guess like, how do listeners, how do you get okay with just seeing where you're really at, but knowing that's not where he wants you to stay? And it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's his kindness that's like, hey girl, like, I'm showing you this because I don't want you to stay in this. Not because I'm some mean father that's out here like trying to expose you to the world. But his hot pursuit isn't, I'm taking things away from you. It's, hey, I want to give you all of me, and you can't have both.
Right, right.
I just went on the longest tangent, I feel like.
Love it. Keep talking.
But I just, like, I guess, like, I just feel like so much of the church, and I want to say that, like, I'm not trying to point out anybody or anything. I just feel like we really do a good job of pretending we're better than we are. And we live in social media world where it's like, here's my perfect house, here's this. Here's all these like peaks of my life, but like,
it's so good. Yeah. Shay, I love
not my
it.
Tangent.
I love it. One of my favorite psalms is let me remember. One of my favorite psalms, I can't remember the address. I believe it's 27. No, not 27. Maybe it is 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about. Well, I do know what it is, but there's something so profound and extreme about light. And when we expose things to the light, I think a lot of times I thought living in the light was to... bring it to Jesus, but I have found that the best gift that we have, that we are discipled. We're discipled by the word through community.
So good.
And I think for me, I think what changed in that journey of fear and is still one of the most important elements to my growth is community that is that has permission to speak into my blind spots.
Yeah.
It's really easy to allow feedback in your life when you know you have weaknesses.
Right.
So when you know you have weaknesses,
they don't catch you off guard.
It's so incredible. I don't know. I think it's a gift, but it's a gift we always fight for. I mean, you know this, you know, in our community, I think it's something that we're always cultivating with this idea of building family, but taking, and I hope I'm like responding to
girl,
the question.
No, girl, I don't even have to ask the question. Like,
you know what?
Off.
You know what? Yeah, this is good. So I think this idea of like presenting the best version of ourselves is... I love that verse that you shared in his weakness or
in our weakness.
In my weakness he is made strong. I think for me what that has looked like is is to lay my life bare before people that would know me. It is allowing people into the littlest to the littlest spaces that I think are not a big deal. But when when the fear of the Lord comes, everything's a big deal.
You better.
What I mean by that is, there's no room for the white lie. There's no room for, sarcasm even. Like, there's just like things that aren't really a sin, quote unquote.
Sure.
That become sinful to me because... Holy Spirit is on it. And so I think what keeps me sharp and on my toes is having people in my life that are, yes, speaking encouragement and life, but also pinpointing, helping me pinpoint the blind spots. And the thing for me, what's been easy is that I continue to live my life that way,
right,
where, you know, there's like you mentioned grief last year, where when there's grief happening, my friends are asking me, what are you running to in this grief? Or right, are you feeling the pain of it? Are you feeling the suffering? You know, confronting me on my ice cream addiction.
Confrontation.
But really, it's allowing people.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we overcomplicate that because we think we have to have these amazing leaders in our life, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Professional counselors in our life, or, you know, people with titles. I think it's just finding that community that loves the Lord and that is able, and that is able to be that for you. I think that has been such a huge part of my healing journey.
Yeah.
And that is why I keep breaking open my life when it's costly, when it feels vulnerable, when I'm going to know I'm going to walk away and feel naked after the conversation. But I feel the Lord cover me because the Bible always, the Bible always gives us this example of, you know, you never lose with humility. Yes. I think humility is so powerful. Humility is actually a weapon. And so God meets us with his grace and humility. And I think it takes humility to break open our lives.
I
hope that answered your question.
Oh my gosh, it was good. I have 17 more questions. No, I love it because I think like watching you, instead of pretend like, yeah, it's fine, which we all have a tendency to do, you're like, no, I'm going to lay in this bed and I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
I'm going to grieve and I'm going to, you know, put words to this the best I can, because I think sometimes we're like, the full crass is he was the man of sorrows.
Yes.
But he's probably the one that we don't, you know, that side of him is not the one that we're like, let me just know you that way, because it's costly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's costly to know him that way, and it's a humility to know him that way. But to feel pain is to have felt love.
Yes.
You know? And there's those aspects. And so, I don't know. I'm just like, so I've seen you tackle so many fears even since moving here. Like, just over, like, a year ago, basically. But, like, even before then. But, like, watching you navigate them on a daily rhythm of seeing you. And be like, hey, like, if you see something, say something, as they say at the airports. Mm-hmm. If you see something, say something. Yeah. Like, care for me. And it, caring isn't just, like...
Yeah.
Sometimes in the church, I think we just, okay, I'm going to care for them. I'm going to go pray for them. I'm never say anything. I'm just going to pray that the Lord tells them. And it's like, hey, like... It probably wouldn't take so long if you just would be the person to say, hey, how are you? Hey, what are you running to? Right?
Yeah.
And so, anyways, I just think it takes such humility, you said, to even acknowledge your own fear.
For sure.
You know, like, I think of the many altar calls that we've probably been in or even created by the Spirit, where, you know, I think at the beginning of the year, you ministered at church, and it was about fear.
Mm-hmm.
In like a year of no longer being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just having this moment where I was up there praying for people. And I remember just thinking, like, every person up here had to respond in humility.
Yeah. Truly.
Like, you have to humble yourself to even admit, like, I still have fear.
Mm-hmm.
I still have fear. No one's immune.
Mm-hmm.
But it still takes humility. Like, humility is never going to be a virtue that leaves.
Yeah.
Like, it'll always be here and it's always available. And so.
So good.
Anyways. Wowzers.
I think it's, well, this idea with fear, I think we continue to graduate to levels of, you know, we reach a certain amount of boldness and then we have to overcome another layer of fear. And that's why, like, Paul, he never asks the church to pray for his healing or his protection or all these things that he knows that he already has in Christ.
Excuse me, I gotta go erase some of my prayer requests. I'm just kidding. I just leveled up to Paul. I'm just kidding.
That his maturity is proven through what he's asking the church to pray for. And he's saying, pray that I might be bold. Pray that I may speak boldly. Pray for me so that I may have boldness in several passages. I'm like, man, Paul, were you scared? I'm like, there was just another layer, and it's the Holy Spirit. I think to me personally, whenever fear comes, there's just another invitation to be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because I can't live under the spirit of fear when I have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so there's just a new wave of, okay, well, what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us? We become bold.
Yeah.
And so let's go, boldness.
Okay.
As our friend Margaret always says, Stasia, this is your year of no longer afraid. Let's see what that looks like.
As we pray in tongues.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that underneath all of those fears is the truest you.
Yes.
Imagine
mm-hmm. who, just imagine out there, my friend, wherever you are, imagine who you would be without, okay, I'm going to just go one fear, who you would be without the fear of man.
I'm going to pick one fear. The biggest fear.
Like, imagine.
Yeah.
If you let go of the fear of man for one day, what would your life look like?
That's crazy to think about. Yeah.
So that is why we are going after this universal topic.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because in some measures it could feel elementary.
Yes.
Like, really? We're going after fear again? Yes, we are, because you don't graduate surrender.
You know what? I thought it was done in 2017.
Right. When she wrote the song, she thought it was... Little did she know, she was just starting on a new level.
True.
Friend, I love you so much. I have one question for you that has nothing to do with any of this podcast.
Okay.
Right now, in this moment, if you could have three people at a table with you, not the Trinity, not Jesus, he's already there, Holy Spirit's there, Father orchestrated it all. Who would you have at the table, dead or alive, or mix, and why would you have them at your table?
Wow, Shay. You probably already know the answer to this question.
It's not from me. And honestly, okay, I tell myself I'm at the table too. I'll be at the side table, just catching side conversation.
So I think I named, I named some pretty powerful people while we were chatting. But Catherine Coleman.
Woo!
One reason, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
No one. I mean, I read her book when I was 12 and encountered Holy Spirit in the deepest way. Trembling, didn't even know that could happen.
Yeah.
So for me, forever just marked by the Holy Spirit through Catherine Coleman's life, it would be very fun to have her at the table.
It would be theatrical, 1,000%.
Yeah. The second person would be Queen Elizabeth.
Of course. Dang, now we have to have the whole army there.
Queen Elizabeth is
the
longevity of someone's life and character. I don't know what it is. You know my little obsession with the monarchy.
I love it.
My daughter's name is London. I absolutely love the UK and love Queen Elizabeth and just all the history just of her life and how many years and seasons, transitions, prime ministers like she's outlived.
Can you imagine just the events that woman has seen?
I know.
But not just seen, not just like she watched it on the telly. I mean she led.
Truly.
In it, like she's led in famines. She was
tried and true.
Oh my god!
Okay, and third, okay, maybe someone that's alive.
It's up to you, girl. It's your table.
Oh, that's tough. I'd probably choose a man, to mix it up.
Got to do some mixy.
Honestly, someone brilliant in that challenges me in my creativity is Erwin McManus.
Ooh. He Can you imagine is, him talking to the queen? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I love uh-huh. His thought processes. Years ago, I read his book, The Artisan Soul, and that
Dude,
was just
still one of my favorite still books. Top. Shout yeah. out.
Yes.
Write and it down.
I love
get
his
it.
Podcast. I love his yeah. stuff on leadership, creativity. Just he's a brilliant thinker yeah. outside of the box. And I love people that he's yeah. a pastor and a fashion designer. I mean, he's done it all. So I don't know. People like that intrigue me because I'm intrigued by a lot of things in the uh-huh. world.
Yeah.
And so that would be a really interesting mix to have those three
yeah,
on the
I'm
table.
Here for that. I'll sit next door. I love it because I feel like you, friend, are, you burn for revival, but it's unto reformation because mm-hmm. you understand the important piece. But what I love for you, to me, you're like the triple combo because mm-hmm. I think your heart also burns for renaissance in the sense of not just rebuilding things,
Let's
but
go.
Bringing
Revival,
creativity back.
Renaissance. Yeah. We got them strong R's.
Them strong R's because you're red.
That's
no, I'm
so
kidding.
Good, Shay. I love
and
that.
And I love
I'm taking
that.
Taking that, girl.
You better. It's recorded. You have to know. So I'm just kidding. Anyways, well, I would love for us to just shut down this episode, not because we have to, but because we kind of have to. But I would love for you just to pray.
Yeah.
And then I'll... Yeah, end it with
so
prayer.
Good.
Just yeah.
Well, I just want to speak directly to any of you that are facing any kind of fear in your mm-hmm. life. What's wild, just to kind of share a little bit before I pray.
Do
it. I have felt so burdened in my heart as I release the book. I think the past even few weeks with the book coming out, I've just been burdened and mm-hmm. just in the best way have felt so compelled by love for those of you that struggle with fear, open, that are ready, that are saying, yes, I want to give this thing up. I even see just like the Lord confronting coping mechanisms that you have picked up or excuses that you have made of why you can't make certain decisions. Ultimately, it's because of fear, but you have made other excuses. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would confront that in your kind, sweet, gracious way where you dismantle that fear and you speak. You become just that intimate friend that gives us permission to surrender, to yield. And I just want to say to you, friend, that there is so much power and life on the other side of surrender, that as you give yourself permission to let go of that fear, that the Lord will meet you there in the best way. And I just see even favor coming on your life and healing. God, I release healing right now, that there are those that are listening, that are just even feeling this invitation right now, that you would release just an open heaven over their life,
yes,
God, as they say yes to you and to letting go of whatever it is you're asking them to let go of, that grace would meet them there. God, your empowering grace would give them the ability to face the fear and see victory come on the other side. God, just any fear that disables them from living their best life, I just say that you would come, Lord, and show them who you are. And so, Father, thank you that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but you give us power, love, a sound mind. And so we just release a sound mind, thoughts that are going to transform the old into the new,
yes.
God. Thank you that it's a new day for our friends out there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Not me falling out. Just kidding. Anyways, well, friends, thank you for tuning into this episode. Again, just a reminder, go grab the book off Amazon.
Yes.
No Longer Afraid. It's a really cute book. It's got some orange splashes on it. Orange title, you know. Sorry if I was not supposed to say anything.
The cover's cute.
The cover's
and then
cute.
It gets real,
okay,
real quick.
But it doesn't get as cute in the book, but that's besides the point. Get ready from stabby stabs. No, I'm just kidding. In love and compassion and mercy, his love for you is unfailing.
Let's go.
Anyways, well, wherever you are, I pray that you feel super loved. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, we love you. And you are worth confronting those fears because you were never made to live with them
Amen.
To begin with. So have a great day.